We're going to talk about the mission of angels or their assignment, end time assignment of angels tonight. Open your Bible to Hebrews, the first chapter. See, the angels play a very important part in this end time ministry. One of the most neglected ministries on planet Earth today is the ministry of angels. Because people don't much believe in it. So many people think, oh yeah, I read in the Bible where the angels did things in the Old Testament, and Peter got in jail and they let him out, and all this kind of thing, but you know, that kind of passed away. No, who said it did? Have you noticed that if you preach on salvation, you get people saved? If you preach on healing, you get people healed? Preach on the Holy Spirit and you'll get people filled with the Holy Ghost. You can't believe any further than you have knowledge. And see, there's a valid ministry of angels. Angels are sent forth to minister for us. And I want you to be very attentive tonight as we go through the scriptures. First of all, I want to lay a foundation. Now, sometimes laying foundation is not too exciting. Pouring concrete is not too exciting. But we're going to get to some things exciting before we get through with this. Hebrews chapter 1. This chapter is dealing with the greatness of Jesus and angels, and Jesus is greater than angels. I'd like to read the whole chapter, but we'll, for the sake of time, we'll begin with verse 7. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. In other words, the ministering spirits, angels, are a flame of fire. Now we'll understand that a little better as we go on. For unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness. Above thy fellows, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels, said he at any time, said on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Well, we know he didn't say that to angels, did he? He said that to Jesus. But now notice the context of 10 and 11. It is talking about that the earth is going to be folded up as a garment, wax old as a garment, as a vesture it shall be folded up, and things shall be changed. That speaks of end time, doesn't it? Verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits? Angels are all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Now that's an important verse there. They're heirs, they're ministering spirits to minister for those who are heirs of salvation. That's us, isn't it? We are heirs of salvation. Now if you would, we're going to stop there. We're going to come back and continue on that in a little bit. Acts the seventh chapter. I want to read one verse of scripture. You don't have to turn to it, but it's Acts 7, verse 53. Who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Talking about Israel, stiff-necked people. They received the law by the disposition of angels. Now that was a strange phrase to me, and for years I wondered, what on earth does it mean? Disposition means by the ordinance of angels or by the arrangement of angels. Now that sounds a little strange, but we'll understand it in just a little bit. They received the law by the disposition of angels. Now remember, they're ministering spirits, a flaming fire. And you see, we'll find that Moses, the law that was the Ten Commandments was burned into stone with fire, and the angels had a part in it. You see this all through the scripture. Now go with me to Psalm 68. In Psalm 68, let's begin reading with verse 15. The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, and the hill as the hill of Bashan. We leap, why leap ye, ye high hills? This is the hill which God desireth to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them as in Sinai in the holy place. You catch that? God's chariot is 20,000 angels. It's interesting, isn't it? They were in Sinai. Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed is the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. God of our deliverance. Now, salvation means deliverance, preservation, healing, soundness, deliverance from temporal evils, and the evils of this present world. In fact, it encompasses a total prosperity. Protection, deliverance, and so on. The angel of the Lord will bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. He's given his angels charge over us. They keep us in all our ways. But the chariots of God are 20,000 angels, even thousands. The Lord was among them in Sinai. Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive. Now, isn't that a strange verse to be put there? This is referring to Jesus. He ascended up on high. He led captivity captive. And gave gifts unto men. Why would it be speaking of the chariots of God being 20,000 angels and immediately start talking about Jesus ascending up on high? Because that's the way he ascended on high. By the chariots of God. Angels caught him up on high. In 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, verses 17, Elisha was delivered. You see, they were surrounded. And Gehazi went out there and he looked and he come back and he said, "Master, what shall we do? We're surrounded." And the prophet just said, "There's more with us than there is with them." Now I can just see Elisha or Gehazi saying, "Let me go count again. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000. 1, 2." He said, "Lord, open the young man's eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened his eyes and the hills were full of horses and chariots of fire. Angels manned those horses and chariots of fire. In fact, I'm convinced that angels take the form of horses and chariots of fire. Then we find that in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 11. Now you know the story here. Elijah is about to be caught up. Now he's been revealed to him to God that he's leaving. And he keeps trying to tell Elisha to stay over here and stay over there, but he won't stay. So here he comes and he's going to be with him. He wants a double portion of his spirit. Verse 11, "It came to pass as they were still went on and talked, and behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by whirlwind into heaven." There's a number by whirlwind. It says storm cloud. Went up by a cloud into heaven. Cloud of angels. Cloud of angels. If you have studied the scriptures when it talks about as a whirlwind, many times it's speaking of angels. So he was caught up by a cloud into heaven with these chariots of fire. With a cloud into heaven. Now let me read again, Psalm 68. "The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels." In Exodus 23, and verse 20, said, "Behold," God said, "behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, to bring thee to the place that I prepared. Beware of him." Now, the place he prepared was the promised land, wasn't it? See, now, the promised land is a type of our inheritance in this life. But you see, our promised land, the promise of the new covenant, but it's also a parallel to heaven. He said, "I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and bring thee to the place that I have prepared. Beware of him, obey his voice, provoke him not, he will not pardon thy transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou will indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then will I be an enemy to thine enemies, adversary to thy adversaries, and my angel shall go before thee and bring thee into the Amorites, the Hittites, the Persians, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Devilites, the Demonites, and all the ites. Well, I got carried away there and added a few, but he said, I'll cut them off. But notice he said, if you don't obey, if you provoke the angels, they won't forgive you. They don't have to. They're spiritual machines, so to speak. But God sent angels to lead Israel to the promised land and keep them in the way and get them to the promised land. But because they would not obey the voice of God and the angels, they provoked him. Thousands of them died and never made it. Now come back to the Exodus, the 14th chapter. Now God had signed an angel of the Lord, Exodus 14, verse 13. But they've come out of Egypt, and now Pharaoh's changed his mind. He sent his armies after them and fully intends to stop them and no telling slaughter how many. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now notice this word, salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today by the Egyptians whom you have seen today. Ye shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, wherefore thou criest unto me, speak to the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift up thy rod and stretch it out. Stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now as they went through the sea, and they were on the other side, the army decided to do the same thing. Look at verse 9. And the angel of God went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. The pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Pillar of cloud? What is this cloud? It's an angel taking the form of a cloud. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Now this was before they got to the sea. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all the night. Very possible its angels was doing that, and made the sea dry land, and the water was divided. The children of Israel went in the midst upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on the right and on their left. And the Egyptian pursued and went after them in the midst of the sea, even as Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked on the host of the Egyptian through the pillar of fire and the cloud. Now remember, this is angels. And troubled the host of the Egyptians and took off the chariot's wheels. The angels just unbolted the chariot's wheels and let them all come off. Now, what did he say this was? The salvation of the Lord. Deliverance of the Lord. Deliverance of the Lord. How did it come? By the ministry of angels. And you know the story when they got through, there was not one remained of all of them. The waters came back together. Stand still and see the salvation of God, or of the Lord. Turn with me to Acts, the first chapter. In Acts chapter 1, verse 6, and when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and unto Judea and Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Ministry of angels, beyond a doubt. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Angels again. Which said, you men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. He shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. Turn with me to Genesis, the 28th chapter. Some of you already get the gist of this, but it's going to get stronger as we go. Genesis chapter 28, verse 11, and this is talking about Jacob now. Jacob lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for pillars, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. Isn't that a strange sight? A ladder reached from earth to heaven. Now notice, the angels are ascending first. They're going up first. Then they're descending from heaven. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac, the land where thou liest. To thee will I give it in thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Notice here, he says, thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. See, he told Abraham, he said, thy seed, Isaac, will be, through Isaac, will be as the stars of the heavens and as the sand upon the seashore. The stars of the heaven means the heavenly people, people that will believe in Jesus and go to heaven. The others are those that reject Jesus. They become people of the earth, and they're typified by the sands of the seashore. Ishmael, and really all that would not receive Jesus as the Messiah. Because there's going to be a separation time that's about to happen, and there's going to be a division. And there's going to be heavenly people, and there's going to be earthly people. Now watch what happens here. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in the place where thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, and I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken unto thee. And we know that God will bring all this back. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I perceived it not, or didn't expect it, really. Knew it not. Didn't expect it. And he was afraid, or awed in reverence or fear. How dreadful is this place, or how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. It is the gate to heaven. Now here's a ladder that reaches from the house of God to heaven. Folks, you've got to be slow and not realize this is a composite drawing of the rapture of the church. A ladder that reaches from the house of God to heaven. And first thing happened, the angels are ascending on it. What are they doing? They're taking the church to heaven. The people of God, the stars, the people as the stars of the heavens, the heavenly people. It's an Old Testament composite drawing of the rapture of the church. They were ascending, going up, and then descending. And Jacob bowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, I will give and will give me bread to eat, raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And so he, and this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And for all that thou shalt give thee, I will surely give a tenth unto thee. Made a covenant to tithe to God right there. A revelation of the rapture of the church here. Composite drawing. Absolutely. Beyond any doubt. Go to John, the first chapter. But you see, Jacob's people, he said, will be as the sand upon the seashore. Indicating that they won't go in that first load. They will be people of the earth. Because they rejected the Messiah. John chapter 1. Now, the situation here is that Nathanael is brought to Jesus. Verse 48, Nathanael said unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus said to him in verse 47, said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael said unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Behold, before Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." And he said unto him, "Verily I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see the heavens open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The angel of God ascending, we just read you where he was caught up and a cloud received him out, angels ascending to heaven with him. And descending, though. Here you have an allusion or illustration, composite, strong leading to reveal that he's referring to the rapture of the church and the second advent. The church ascends to heaven and descends from heaven, of course, which Jesus fulfilled the first part of that by ascending, and the cloud received him out of the sight. The angels descending. Now, it's interesting that right at the next chapter division here, you know, there wasn't any chapter division there. Jesus didn't say, now, chapter 2. And the third there, that day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. The third day. The rapture of the church, the dissension could be, and coming back in Revelation 19, Jesus will be upon a white horse. What kind of horse is this? Angelic horses. The same kind that was horses of fire and chariots of fire. It's a symbol. It's the chariots of God. We will be with them on the same chariots. Coming back from heaven. Revelation 19. And then he said the third day there'll be a marriage in Cana of Galilee. Now this is an event that actually happened. What does this mean? The third day there'll be a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And they were out there, didn't have any wine. And they had 6 earthen pots there for the purifying of the Jews. And he said, fill the water pot with water. 6 pots of water for the purifying of the Jews. Going to be a marriage in Cana of Galilee. Now, I'm not going to take time to turn to it, but if you write down Isaiah 62, 1 through 5, and you'll find that Israel is going to marry that land. They're going to be married to their land. In the third day, which is the millennial. This is a foreshadowing, a type of Israel being married to the land. They're coming back. We're gathered back in the land, going to marry the land. They will never leave it again, and Israel will be forever. Well, what does the water pots reveal? There's 6 water pots, earthen pots, full of water, that they filled with water, for the purifying of the Jews, the water of the Word. He will fill them with the Word during the millennial, and then it will be turned to wine. He pours out His Spirit upon them. Read it in Jeremiah 31, 31. "Behold, the day cometh, saith the Lord, that I make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand, and to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. Now this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts. I will write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for light by day, and the ordinance of moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea, when the waves thereof roareth, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall cease from being a nation before me forever. What's the chance of those ordinances departing? He just described the sun, light of the day, and the ordinance of the moon, and the stars, and the light of night, and divide the sea, and the waves thereof. If all of that goes away, then he said it's not going to ever happen. That's his way of saying it'll never happen. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, if the foundation of the earth searched out beneath, I also will cast off all the seed of Israel, all that have, and that they have done, saith the Lord. Well, that can't be done, so he'll never do that. That's what he's saying. Behold, the day cometh, saith the Lord, that the city will be built to the Lord from the tower of Hanel and to the corner, gate corner, and the measure. And he goes on and talks about expanding Jerusalem. When you come down to the last part of verse 40, it says, unto the corner of the horse gate toward the east shall the holy, shall be holy unto the Lord, and it shall not be plucked up nor thrown down forever. So this is God's promise to them. And this is exactly what's going to happen, and I believe the marriage in Cana of Galilee the third day is Israel coming back and being married to their land, brought back to their land again, and being filled with the Spirit, and every man shall know the Lord, and from the least to the greatest. Now come with me to, let me remind you again. I want to read this one more time before we go to Revelation. Go to Revelation chapter 3. I want to read what Jesus said in John chapter 1, 51. Ye shall see heaven open, the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. In other words, two events it seems to be talking about there. We never read in the Scriptures where this happened. I kept looking for the Scripture, trying to find a place where angels ascended upon Jesus and descended upon Jesus. And the only place you can find is when that cloud received him out of sight. That's angels. That was his transportation to heaven. Now go to Revelation 3. Verse 8, now he's speaking here to the church at Philadelphia. Verse 8 says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. No man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Now verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. He that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him a new name. Now he said to the church at Philadelphia, you have kept my word and has not denied my name. So I will keep you from the hour of temptation. Now the word temptation means an experiment. It comes from the Strong's Concordance word 3985. It means to experiment, attempt, trial, proving trial. Trial of man's integrity. And then the actual word that's used is 3986 in Strong's. It says, put to proof, challenge to show themselves. Folks, that's exactly what the tribulation period is for. Challenges people to make a decision either for God or against him. This is the temptation he's referring to, is the tribulation period. And see, in the book of Nahum, we'll not take time to turn to it because it'd be hard to find. Nahum said, God has reserved his wrath for his enemies. The tribulation period is God's wrath, especially the last 3.5 years, upon his enemies and upon those that would not serve him. So here we find that God said, I'll keep thee from the hour of temptation. Now, notice also that he said, verse 8 again, I have set before thee an open door. No man will shut it. And on down here he says, I'll keep you from the hour of temptation. Now, 19 times in chapter 3 it talks about the church. I mean, in the first 3 chapters, it mentions the church. After chapter 3, the church is never mentioned one more time as being on earth. Not ever again. Isn't that amazing? If it was here, surely it would be mentioned. But you see, people read over in Matthew 24, it says, for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And they say, well, see, the elect is still there. Then it talks about gathering the elect immediately after the tribulation in those days when Christ comes, He'll gather the elect. The elect is talking about gathering is the elect of Israel, not the church. The church has already been in heaven 7 years when Jesus comes back at the second advent. So, He said to the church at Philadelphia, because you've kept my word, and you have not, and you've kept my name. But in Luke chapter 12, verses 8 and 9, Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the angels of God. But if you don't confess me before men, I will not confess you before the angels of God. Now what does that mean? You'll have no transportation to escape. You'll have no transportation to escape. That's the way of escape that God has made. Isn't that what He said to this church? You've kept my word. You've kept my name. Not denied my name. If you don't deny His name, He will confess you before the angels. He said, I've opened the door. No man shut it. Now read chapter 4, verse 1. After this I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice I heard, as it were, a trumpet talking to me saying, come up hither. There's the escape. There's the way of escape. He confessed Him before the angels of God, and instantly John was in heaven. It's a composite drawing or a parallel of the rapture of the church, without a doubt. He said to John, come up hither and I'll show you the things that must be hereafter. Hereafter what? He's just been talking 3 whole chapters about the church. I'll show you what'll be after the church age. And the church is never mentioned one more time. In the whole book of Revelation, until you get the last chapter, and it just said, these things are written to the churches. Now, folks, you've got to be slow not to catch on to this. But, you see, if you've been taught wrong, you'd believe wrong. And there's a lot of wrong doctrine being taught concerning this matter. There's people that say there's going to be no rapture. Folks, if I was going to church that's teaching no rapture, I'd find me another church. Because if they preach salvation, you'll get saved. If you preach healing, you'll get healed. If they don't preach the rapture, you may not believe in it, and you may not go. Now, I know I don't have any scripture for that. And I'm just thinking out loud. But does anything else happen to you just because it was available? Do you get saved just because Christ died? Do you get healed just because it says by His stripes you were healed? Folks, it's important to believe in the ministry of angels for divine protection. It is part of your salvation. It is part of the deliverance. See, God told Moses, stand still to see the salvation of the Lord. What happened? The angels took over. Took the wheels off those chariots. And then let the water come back in. Brother, I mean, tell you. That's the deliverance that comes from the Lord. I'll keep you from the hour of temptation. That's strong, folks. That's strong. Let's go to Habakkuk. I didn't say tobacco now, I said Habakkuk. If you have a Kenneth Copeland Bible, it's page 1009. I hope you're ready for this. Verse 8, was the Lord displeased with the rivers? Now, when it talks about rivers and seas and does not name the waters or geographical location of the name of the river or the name of the sea, referring to people. Was the Lord displeased with the waters? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride upon thy horses, thy chariots of salvation? Thy chariots of salvation. Chariots of deliverance. And I will keep you from the hour of temptation. Thy bow was made quite naked, according to the oath of the tribes, even thy word. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers, the mountains saw thee, they trembled, the overflowing of the water passed by, the deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hand on high. The sun, the moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and in the shining thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thrash the heathen in anger. Folks, this is describing the end time event when Jesus comes back. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people Israel, see? Even for the salvation of thine anointed, thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation of his neck, and so on. And thou didst strike through with a stave the head of the villages. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. Thou rejoicing, their rejoicing was as to devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea and thy horses through the heaps of the great waves. When I heard, now this is Habakkuk speaking here. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. What troops? The army that comes from heaven with him in Revelation 19. And all the armies of heaven, here he comes on a white horse. The chariots in the form of horses, and all the armies with him. Folks, this is the second advent that Habakkuk is describing here. Now, while we're talking about that, turn there to Revelation. Don't you see it in your Bible? I think some people think I make this stuff up. Chapter 19. And I saw heaven opened. Verse 11. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and his righteousness he did judge and make war. His eyes was as a flame of fire, and his head was many crowns, and he had a name written, which no man knew, but he himself, he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God, and all the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in linen, white and clean. Now that applies to what Jesus said. You will see the angels ascending upon the Son of Man, and descending upon the Son of Man. Here is the descending, right here, with the angels. And part of that army is us. I don't know exactly what part we'll have in it, but we're there. And because all the saints come back with him. And you can read that in Zechariah, the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 5. But you'll notice, as he comes back, there was a door opened in heaven. There was a door opened when the church went up. There was a door opened when the church came back. Now, if we come back with him, how could we come back with him if we did not go up there? That'd be hard to do, to say the least. I want to read Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 8 again. The Lord was displeased with the rivers or with the people. Thy anger against the rivers, thy wrath against the sea, thou didst ride upon thy horses, thy chariots of salvation. Describing the ascent from heaven in Revelation 19, which we just read. That's the horses he's referring to. The chariots of salvation. Notice again, the word salvation means deliverance. Deliverance from temporal evils. Deliverance from, and he's going to deliver Israel. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Now come with me to Revelation. Well, before we go there, I've missed a scripture somewhere. Go back over there to Hebrews before we go to Revelation again. At least you're going to get familiar with your Bible tonight, aren't you? You know, I never could just take one scripture and preach from it. Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to read again some scriptures, and it will make a lot more sense and more understanding now. Let's begin with the 14th verse of chapter 1. Are they not all speaking of angels? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Well, that's us, isn't it? Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Lest at any time we should let them slip. Why? Because at any time we might need the ministry of angels. At any time, Jesus might appear. And we need transport. We need transportation to meet him up there. We're not going to flop our wings and go up there. We have transportation. Angelic chariots, the same ones that he sent after Elijah, they can take different forms, as you see. They take the form of horses. They take the form of horses of fire and chariots of fire, and they take the form of a whirlwind or a cloud. And we didn't go to it, but at Sinai, when Moses went up to Sinai, fire came down on the mountain and a dark cloud. And that cloud, you see, the angels were there. And fire burned the Ten Commandments into stone. And all through the scriptures, keep talking about the law was received by the disposition of angels. But you never see them talk about angels on Mount Sinai. It's just a cloud. And the cloud that appeared in the doorway, and God talked to Moses out of that cloud. That's angels. It's a cloud of angels. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. What have we just heard? Angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who are heirs of salvation. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just recompense of reward. A just recompense. Well, now, if every transgression and disobedience receive a just recompense of reward, every righteousness should receive a just recompense reward. You have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, that you might receive the promise of the Father. We have in heaven a more enduring substance reserved in heaven for us. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you have need of patience. How shall we escape? Now let's read it together. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For the word spoken by angels was steadfast, every transgression received a just recompense reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation or deliverance, which first began to be spoken by the Lord? When was it spoken by the Lord? This escape spoken by the Lord. You will see the angels ascending and descending upon or with the Son of Man. That's when it was spoken of the Lord. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Salvation that comes by the ministry of angels. Deliverance from temporal evils.